Hello, everybody. Josh Brown here, back for another great episode on Franchise Euphoria. Well, today's episode is brought to you by IndieFranchiseLaw.com, a leading resource in the franchise space to help you if you're considering buying a franchise, turning your business into a franchise, or growing your business through a licensing or franchise structure. So go on, check it out, IndieFranchiseLaw.com. I think you'll find a lot of valuable and free information as you continue to kind of weigh franchising and licensing and the growth of your business. Without further ado, I hope you enjoy today's episode. On today's episode of Franchise Euphoria, I've got Kevin Dubois, who is the CEO of Lapel's Dry Cleaning. Dubois has more than 20 years in the franchise industry, and the last 15 with Lapel's. Under his leadership, Lapel's Dry Cleaning has been ranked in Entrepreneur's 26th annual Franchise 500, as well as that publication's top 50, quote, new franchises, although they've been around for some time now. Dubois was also named Franchiser of the Year by the New England Franchise Association. He earned this honor based on his key role in the franchise's growth, commitment to the environment through its greener dry cleaning processes, its outreach to recruit veterans, and its efforts in the community. And he's also the co-author of a book, Entrepreneurial Insanity in the Dry Cleaning Business. I really enjoyed this interview with Kevin. He got into franchising at the age of 18. Is still in it today. Lapel's Dry Cleaning has 100 or more locations. And so there's a lot to be learned from this interview and from Kevin's experience. So without further ado, I hope you enjoy this interview with Kevin Dubois. Hello, Kevin. Welcome to Franchise Euphoria. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing well. Happy to have you on. You are obviously the CEO of Lapel's Dry Cleaning, and you've been in the franchise business for about 20 years or so. You've got a good amount of experience.
Yeah, I started at a very young age, sort of accidentally into franchising, but I was 18 when I signed my first franchise agreement, which was a sub-franchise with a hotelier when I was leasing their restaurant.
You were 18 when you became a franchisee?
Yep. I was about 6 months out of high school working at my dad's business, which was a restaurant and catering company, and just very accidentally fell into a relationship with a hotelier. My dad was starting to lease restaurants and hotels, country clubs, and just kind of running the food and beverage. He did that all down Cape Cod. And if you're familiar with the Cape, a lot of people that live on the Cape and do business on the Cape don't really leave the Cape. And so a hotelier that had a hotel down the Cape had bought something on what was the South Shore, so about 30 miles off Cape, and had called my dad to give him an opportunity to take it over. My dad was away for a couple of months and had put me in charge of the restaurant. We have the same name, so I wound up having the initial conversation with that hotelier and hung up with him with what I thought was very exciting news for my dad. And when I called, he was certainly less than excited about it.
Because you were so young, or what? Why was he less than excited?
He was less than excited because it was off Cape, and he really had focused on Cape Cod for all of his business. And thought that was, you know, too far and sort of a different animal. The Cape, he really knew that business well. It was super seasonal, but had gotten very good at it. And so I hung up with my dad. I called the hotelier back and I said, hey, we'd love to meet with you tomorrow. And, you know, so did that really initially without my dad having known about it, and packed up my dad's Cadillac and his briefcase that didn't have a whole lot in it, but I thought made me look a whole lot more professional, and wound up walking into that initial meeting with the general manager, Ray Schertz, and the owner of the hotel company. I'm sure they looked at me kind of side-eyed because I was a young 18. I looked 15, maybe.
Yeah, they were like, who's this kid wasting our time, right?
We must have the wrong person. But I think back then, you know, it was a different animal in food and beverage way back when. And I think they were so desperate and eager to get rid of food and beverage that at the end of that walkthrough, they said, hey, you know, would you like to take over? I said, yeah, how's Monday? And I was off to the races. And I think I broke the news to my dad about a week later when I recognized that, hey, yeah, this is a serious opportunity. he still wasn't all that excited about it. And we basically made a deal in which I bought him his vehicle that he had just bought. And I took over that business. And that was the start of franchising for me. And it was great because hoteliers, in my mind, are still the best franchise companies, franchisors, the way they run their reservations.
Why is that?
You know, the brands are the brands. You know, you know those brands, whether it's Hilton, Holiday Inn, Ramada, DoubleTree. You just, you know those brands. They've done a really good job at brand recognition, and they do a really good job at delivering sales to the franchisee. You know, the typical franchisee in the hotel world has this reservation system that's dumping business on their head all day, every day. And as a result of that, it really empowers the franchisor to, you know, hold them accountable in terms of quality assurance and guest surveys and cleanliness. And
how are those guys now? I mean, obviously, I agree. You know, it's interesting, like, if you would look traditionally at hotels, right? I mean, hotels, like you said, I mean, they're just, so you get with the brand, people travel, people stay there, you know, you're renting out rooms by the night. I mean, it's very lucrative. And then COVID hits. I mean, what are those folks doing now to just get through this?
Yeah, I mean, probably feels a lot like our world here at LaPelle's Dry Cleaning. I mean, I don't think anybody saw this coming. I know I certainly didn't think I'd be doing my job today is much different than what I thought it would be. You know,
like 3 months ago. Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's probably a struggle. And for us at LaPelle's, you know, the work from home is probably affecting us just like the hotel world and just like the restaurant world. It's been challenging times and sort of unexpected for sure.
So you go from sort of the hotel, restaurant, food management type world into dry cleaning. How'd you make that transition?
The link was so that hotel leasing business went from 1 at 18 to 6 at 20. In my early 20s, I was really enjoying the business. You know, we had banquet halls and we were doing a lot of weddings and corporate events. But I recognized even back then that without owning the real estate, I was watching these hoteliers buy and sell hotels like they were playing Monopoly. So I wanted to get something where I owned the real estate. And that became a transition to LaPelle's in that I sold those six restaurants back to a hotelier. That gave me the capital to go out and buy a restaurant that had real estate on the South Shore of Massachusetts. And the owner of that real estate and restaurant, a guy named Larry Friedman, was ultimately the founder of LaPelle's. And so that was my intro. Larry and I got along really well. I had the franchising background. He had the dry cleaning background. And together we learned a lot from each other back, in the early days. And that was, gosh, he started the company 20 years ago and I bought half of it about 15 years ago. And then I bought him out of the other half about 8 years ago. And so that was the intro to LaPelle's for me.
So let's talk about LaPelle's. So obviously, you know, people are familiar with dry cleaning. Sure. What is it about LaPelle's and what you all do that makes you unique, different, or better than others?
Well, somewhat by luck in that way back when Larry started the company, he really wanted to have a more environmentally friendly dry cleaner. He had been in the dry cleaning industry prior, had a groundwater contamination issue, which is very prominent with dry cleaners. And really wanted to go about it different. And that was back before people were making conscious decisions to go with businesses that were environmentally friendly. He was doing it because he thought it was the right thing to do and really felt guilty about how the business had been run prior. That was really sort of one of the tenets of the business. And as we've built over the years, it's really more from that being one stage, which is the environmentally friendly piece. And now today, 100% environmentally non-toxic. The solvent that we use breaks down naturally to sand and water. We are a sustainable dry cleaning option. And that really is relevant to the people like Starwood Hotels when they're choosing a dry cleaner to clean not only employee uniforms, but guest services or the Intels, the Googles, Harvard Business, General Dynamics are all, you know, corporate accounts for us. So that's one tenant. And then, you know, we really build this hub and spokes business model, which makes it really easy to scale. So again, different from the restaurants and the hotels where you build one restaurant, it's $1 million, and restaurant two is $1 million. In the dry cleaning industry, we have what we call our plants, which is where the cleaning gets done. And once you have that plant, we build it to service up to 5 satellite stores. And so those are really inexpensive to open and operate. You know, we can open the doors for as little as $80,000. The footprint can be very small. We can build those in as small as 300 square feet.
Yeah, that's tiny.
Yeah. I mean, we can really kind of, on the satellite stores anyway, we can really kind of skinny them down. We've turned former closets into dry cleaning stores in the city of Boston.
Because it's at that point, it's drop off, and then somebody comes and takes that over to the plant for it to be cleaned, and then it's either delivered back or probably at this point in time, probably delivered to the customer in some capacity.
Yeah, it can be either or, but you're absolutely right. And that pickup and delivery to people's homes and offices has been a real growth vehicle for us. You know, what was probably 5% of total sales 10 years ago is probably now 50 to 60%, and maybe even more so during COVID.
So at what point did you franchise the business?
You know, so it was franchised before I got here. So Larry started the company in 1999. In 2000, he started franchising. I got involved in 2007, and at that point, they had about 18 stores. They were only building satellite stores back then, and they were farming out the work to dry cleaners. And when I got involved, we started building the plants. We really started pushing the solvent and the detergents that were environmentally friendly. And that just sort of naturally progressed to franchise owners that were building multiple units. So it sort of propelled the growth. It got us to, you know, 50 stores about 5 years ago and 100 stores last year. And what we found is as we've gotten larger, we're attracting a little bit different franchisee in that now, you know, people that do own hotels and Golden Corrals and Great Clips are now, you know, sort of diversifying the businesses that they own. And so those people who are coming into the system aren't looking to, you know, build one store and working at 70 hours a week. They're really looking to scale something. And that works really well in our business.
Well, and so with obviously the franchisees, I mean, are you looking for multi-unit operators, area development? I mean, you're looking for people to own numerous locations, or what's your marketing focus?
Yeah, it is. I mean, we really feel like that hub and spokes tied into one franchise owner works best. So, you know, one franchisee opens a plant, then scales up the 5 satellite stores and really has an enterprise that they're running with pickup and delivery and corporate valet within that hub and spokes. However, it does work sort of together. I mean, we have scenarios where we have a franchise owner that owns a plant and a single satellite store or a couple satellite stores. And he's working with another franchisee that owns a couple of satellite stores and is doing pickup and delivery, and they have a wholesale agreement to work together. So it can work independently and it can work together. But what we're finding more often than not lately is that one franchisee that builds multiple plant and satellite stores together.
And are you mostly on the East Coast at this point? I mean, with 100 locations, I'm sure you're kind of spread out a little bit, but how do you go across the U.S.?
Yeah, I mean, we did start just south of Boston, Mass. So we do have, you know, 40% of our stores are here in New England, but we do go as far as Northern California. We have several stores in Arizona, several stores in Texas. We built in the last year, South Carolina, North Carolina. So we are a little bit spread out after you leave New England and all the way to the West Coast. And, you know, for us, again, I always draw so many comparisons to food. You know, in the food franchising world, distributorship is a real hurdle to growth in different parts of the country simultaneously. You know, if you're a burger concept, it's not easy to start replicating a bun for your burger in different markets at the same time with, you know, different bakeries. Whereas with us is really, there's no perishables. Cost of goods is a pretty static number, and it's very easy to get distributorship across the country. So it is a little bit spread out after we leave New England. And we are looking to franchise in all 50 states right now.
Well, and I know you've got stories because you're the co-author of a book, Entrepreneurial Insanity in the Dry Cleaning Business. And it's a book that you co-wrote with Roger McManus. So talk about that a little bit. Talk about the book, why you decided to write the book, and maybe share some stories from it.
Yeah, I would love to. So the book is really sort of a recount of several years in small business. You know, I said I started at 18, really didn't know what the heck I was doing back then. And yeah, as the business started to grow, you know, that business that was 300,000 at 18 was 6 million at 20. I quickly realized that I couldn't do it all. And I grew up watching my father do it all. He was very much a very hard worker, and I watched him do 24-hour shifts very often during the summer. But I couldn't do that, especially with multiple units. So I almost was forced to recognize that I needed key people in different spots, and I couldn't be the chief cook and bottle washer, that I really had to find good people to run different parts of the business and then manage them. And that's really sort of the theory on the book, which is, you know, sometimes you have to work on the business instead of being in the business day in and day out. And so, you know, the thought is really to be able to kind of take a step back and look at the big picture, make sure you are marketing your business, make sure there is a plan, a strategic plan for the next year, and that you work towards achieving those goals. And a lot of times in small business, you know, you have those thoughts before you open the doors, and then you open the doors and, you know, somebody calls in sick and you're behind the counter and a machine breaks down and you're the maintenance man and, you know, you got plumbing issues and you become the plumber and you're off to the races sort of playing fireman. So that's really the premise of the book.
Well, I got to imagine the evolution of the dry cleaning world, the dry cleaning business, dry cleaning and franchising. I mean, it's really, as you said and kind of spoke about, I mean, it's really evolved over the years, and you're seeing a lot more that are focusing on the environmental, non-toxic type processes. You know, I assume you see it going that direction and continue to go that direction into the future, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. It's amazing to me how little changed in the dry cleaning world for a long while, and how much has changed over just the last few years. And that is both from a production component as well as customer facing. So from the production component, it was the same solvent, it was the same equipment forever and ever and ever. And then all of a sudden you had some larger players come into the market, or you had some, you know, third and fourth generation entrepreneurs that wanted to do things differently. So you definitely saw a difference in the equipment being used, some automation in the business, and definitely a different environmentally friendly component, which was unusual to put those words with dry cleaning, even as early as 14, 15 years ago when I got involved. And then even more so probably from the customer facing perspective, which, you know, customers have always chosen dry cleaners based on convenience, but what that convenience is has really morphed. I mean, it's gone from the dry cleaner that sat next to the supermarket, which was the definition of convenience 30 years ago, to now people choosing their dry cleaner, you know, based on who has an app and who's doing pickup and delivery to their home and who has 24/7 lockers in their office or their garage that they park. And that really has taken hold over the last few years.
Yeah, I mean, it's followed the trend of like everything else, right? I mean, everything just seems to be, if you look at the different restaurant franchises or any kind of service-based franchise, it just becomes, how much more convenient can we make it for people? I mean, that's like really
100%.
What it's all about.
Yep, how much more convenient. And it feels like everything in the world is delivered to your door, which has tied in really well to our business model. And the environmental piece has become a real driving force in how customers make a decision. So we feel like all of that lends well to our business model. And at the end of the day, we really think that technology is really important to customers, but in order to be in the dry cleaning business, you still need to own a dry cleaning machine. As cool as software can be, you have to, you know, somebody has to clean the clothes.
But I imagine though your POS system or your system-wide system for that your franchisees use, I mean, that's got to be of huge value to them, because that's going to be the engine that helps them make sure that they're getting their deliveries on time and make sure that, you know, people are coming in and it's getting entered into the system. I mean, that's a huge value-based proponent of
it is.
A good franchise system. And dry cleaning's got to be huge. I mean, got to, because there's just a lot of different pieces to the equation.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, not only tracking the garments, which we do today with barcodes that give you the ability to really tag things in very quickly. And that also ties into what we would call assisted assembly, which makes putting the orders together really efficient and tracks the clothes so you're not losing clothes. But also ties into the customer facing. So customers can log into a portal and see that their clothes have been cleaned, tagged, they're on a truck on their way back or sign up for delivery. And all that ties into the POS system. It's sending them a survey to see how their experience was when they pick up, either by email or text. It's sending them reminders via email or text that their order is ready. And it gives them the ability to even let the store know that they're on their way. And that alerts the POS system so that they can start getting the clothes out on the rack ready for them to pick up. So yes, technology in many ways has been really important here over the last 5 years, but even more so right now, just with needing to communicate with customers with everything going on with COVID.
Yeah. How have you guys been dealing with COVID? I know that's had an impact on your business, but how so, and how have you guys been dealing with it?
Well, it seems like the magical world is pivot out there in the world. And it seems like the people that have been able to do that in one way, shape or form are the ones that, make it to the back end of this. And I think for us, the ways that we've done that is one, pickup and delivery has been much more prominent. We've had franchisees that were full on board with pickup and delivery and others that needed a little nudge, and COVID certainly gave them that nudge. We've also seen a shift from dry cleaning pieces to wash, dry, fold, and laundry and household items. The amount of comforters that we're cleaning today is probably 3 times what it was pre-COVID. Customers are really looking for sanitation and bacteria killing and their professional cleaning. The number of dentist office and hospitals and urgent cares that we're working with is probably fivefold today from what it was at the beginning of the year. So that's been really kind of the major shift, pickup and delivery and the type of pieces that we're cleaning today versus pre-COVID.
Well, thanks so much, Kevin, for coming on the show. I mean, I think it's fascinating, not only that you started at age 18 and you're still having tremendous success in franchising. If anybody wants to learn more about the Lapels Dry Cleaning franchise, you can go to mylapels.com or you can go to lapelsfranchise.com. That's mylapels.com or lapelsfranchise.com. Thank you so much for coming on. Before we go, though, where can people get your book? Can they get them anywhere? Do you want? Is there an online link or anything like that?
Yeah, probably the easiest way, and it seems like this is always the way, right? It's Amazon or Kindle are probably the two easiest.
I think I've heard of both of those.
Yeah. I think those business models may just catch on.
Yeah, I joked with my wife the other day that I can't remember since COVID sort of really, early March, I'm not sure we've had one day go by where we haven't had at least one Amazon delivery.
It's funny. I think I've placed 3 today, 1 for my office and 2 for the house. It's amazing.
Well, listen, I wish you the best of luck. I not only feel for you guys, working through all this and obviously making the pivots is hard, but I also think that it's exciting and it sounds like you're up for the challenge. This isn't your first rodeo. You've been doing this for a long time. And so I have confidence that you guys are going to make your way through all of this and come out the other side. So I wish you nothing but the best of luck in the future.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for tuning in for another episode of Franchise Euphoria. If you enjoyed this episode or have enjoyed the podcast in general, I would really appreciate it if you could go to iTunes and leave me a rating and review. It really helps to get this podcast out to more and more people. So the easy way to do it is go to iTunes and in the search box, put in Franchise Euphoria. You will then see my cover art and you click on my smiling face that says Franchise Euphoria and then click on the link that says ratings and reviews. It's that simple, but boy, oh boy, does it mean the world to me when people leave ratings and reviews. And like I said, it really helps get the show out there. Once again, would love it if you would go to iTunes and leave a rating and review if you enjoyed this episode or other episodes of the show. And until the next time, happy franchising.